This morning when I was having my coffee, I had the news on and I saw the Muni lot filling up with tailgaters. And the news person said, you know, you're not allowed to drink at the Muni lot, which is the biggest joke in the world. Yeah. All right, I won't say anymore. But I did think to myself, I'm glad I'm going to church today and not the Muni lot. And I want to be full of the Spirit, but a different kind of Spirit. I want to be full of a Spirit you don't drink. I want to be full of a Spirit that only comes from the heart of God. And so I love to see all the Browns gear today. We have some sinners in our midst who have other teams, but it's good that there's always tares among the wheat. I'm happy to be in the house of God with you today. Dear Heavenly Father, you are beautiful in every thought you think. You only think what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure and lovely and commendable and excellent. Every thought you think is worthy of praise. And we want to have our minds structured more like your minds. And we want to think in healthy and holy ways. We pray that your Spirit would lead us to that wisdom this morning. In Christ's name, amen. This week I read an article called "The Person You Meet on Introspection," by the psychiatrist Abigail Brenner. The title caught my eye and made me want to read it. The Person You Meet on Introspection. That means, who is that person on the inside of your head talking to you all the time? Where does all that conversation in my mind come from? Well, the fact of the matter is, that's my self is generating all that self-talk. Whatever you hear in your head, I'm sorry to say, you're the one thinking it. And it turns out God has created me in the kind of way that I am not the victim of my thoughts. I can control my thoughts. My thoughts have to follow what I want. I don't have to follow what my thoughts want. And in our study of the book of Philippians, we've come this morning to an interesting passage. And Paul says, finally, brothers, he means that in a non-gender way, finally, family, friends, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I can have a healthy mind if I control what I think about. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In these verses, Paul says, I'm going to give you some ideas about the thoughts that will create a healthy mind. And so we're just going to work our way through these eight virtues that create a healthy mind. And the first one he says is, you got to focus on what is true. Now, I need to make some distinctions. We live in a culture that says, whatever's true for you is true for you, but it may not be true for me. So they have confused truth with opinions. It's true. Your opinions are your opinions, and my opinions are my opinions. But opinions aren't truth. There are some crazy people out there who don't think the world is round. It's their opinion, but it's not true. I've seen real photographs from space. It's round. My opinions are not the same as the truth. Second of all, I want to say, agendas aren't the same as truth. This happens to me often. I hear somebody quoting their favorite cable news network, like, that cable news network only says the truth. Let me remind you this. The cable news networks aren't in business to propagate the truth. They're in business to make money. And they have a target audience. And they set their agenda for their target audience. Church, an agenda is not the truth. I want to say to some of you, social media is not equal to the truth. People say to me all this time, I read this on Facebook. Well, wow, it must be true. Social media is everybody out there saying anything they want. And here's one of the troubles with social media. Somebody says something that's not true, and then it gets repeated 5 million times. And because it's been repeated 5 million times, people start assuming that it's true. It's just social media nonsense. Because you read it on Twitter doesn't make it true. So if my opinion isn't truth, if agenda isn't truth, if what I read on social, that's not truth, well, how do I get to the truth? All right. Truth originates in God and expresses itself in reality. Now, here's what I'm saying. All truth is God's truth. I believe the truth of gravity is the truth of God. All truth is God's truth. And just like I believe God's truth expresses itself in reality, in gravity, I believe God's truth expresses itself in the human condition. Reality has to triumph over your opinion every single time. Okay, your opinion might say, it's all right for me to be ugly to this person. But the truth is, God's truth is, reality is, it's not all right. And if you're going to be ugly, you can't expect good outcomes. Do you see what I'm saying? All right, I have to ask myself from time to time, are you thinking the truth, or is this just your opinion? Are you thinking the truth, or do you just want this to be true because it supports your agenda? Are you thinking the truth, or are you just repeating something you read on your Snapchat. I got to ask myself. I have to discipline myself to say, what am I permitting to happen in my mind? If I'm going to have a healthy mind, I have to have a commitment to the truth. And I would also like to say, because I'm a Christian, our Lord Jesus Christ said, make them pure by your truth. Your word is truth. The truth, the true ideas in the Bible, if I think about them, have a way of making my mind pure. The second characteristic of a healthy mind is honorable. What is honorable? It's respectable thoughts that are not tarnished by petty, disreputable biases. I tarnish my mind when I let petty biases replace what is genuinely honorable. I want to say this in a better way. Honorable thoughts are, honorable thoughts have integrity. Honorable thoughts live up to what my own standard is. I got to say this better. Every one of us have some kind of scale about the kind of person we should be, right? Some people have a higher standard for themselves than others, but everybody in this room has some idea of what kind of person they want to be. All right. Honorable thoughts have the integrity of, I'm in my mind, I'm living up to the standard of my best self. I'm not letting my mind fall below in its thoughts who I said I was going to be. Does this make sense to you? If I said I'm going to be a forgiving person, then I have to think forgiving thoughts. That's honorable. To say I'm a forgiving person and never think a forgiving thought, there's no integrity in that. You see? So integrity is this idea that, I mean, honorable is this idea that I have this personal standard and my thoughts live up to that standard. I want to say one more word about honorable is respectable. We worry too much about the respect of other people and not the respect that you have or don't have for yourself. Listen to this. If you don't respect yourself, it doesn't matter who respects you. If you don't respect yourself, it doesn't matter who doesn't respect you. Because you have this inner voice that says, you're not respectable. You say this, but you think this. You tell others this, but here's where your mind is. So what is honorable is that which is permits me to say I can respect myself because I hold my thoughts to the same standard that I express vocally. Does that make sense to you? You are honorable because you think up to the standard that you set for yourself. Then he uses the word just. Just thoughts abandoned prejudice and focus on what is right. Now, prejudice is a hot button word, but prejudice is an issue of the mind, church. I read an article today that race is a social construct. that it's really not a it's not really it's not a scientific category. It is a sociological category that we artificially created based on whatever you pick. Race and culture are very similar. Culture is not science. It's the way people organize themselves. All right. Why am I saying all this? I have to be just in my thoughts, or I'm not going to be just in my behaviors. I'm going to take the hot button issue away and talk about this in a different way. I'm going to out myself. When somebody, I don't like the way somebody drives, I have a tendency to think they're an idiot. Look, that's an ugly prejudice. Because I don't like the way you drive doesn't mean you're an idiot, right? Maybe somebody's in the hospital and they're trying to get there to be with them. That's as valid as me saying they're an idiot. Okay, I don't have a healthy mind when I'm not willing to confront that I'm thinking an unjust and unfair thought. Because I find the older I get, the worse I drive. Or maybe I just recognize how bad a driver I've been my whole life. I don't know. I'm afraid I'm going to be... You people need God as much as I do. Then Paul says, your thoughts need to be pure. Pure thoughts don't indulge in vulgarity. I mean, we just have to be honest. We live in a vulgar world. We're bombarded with vulgar messages. And pure thoughts don't indulge in the vulgar. I want to speak to young people right now. Be careful what you put in your mind. You may not be able to get it out. When I was in junior high, I somehow or another learned this little vulgar jingle. And you know, all these years later, that stupid vulgar jingle still bounces around in my head from time to time. I can't get it out. Now, important stuff I want to remember, I'm not remembering that. I'm remembering this little vulgar jingle that I thought was so fun when I was in junior high. Young people, be careful what you put in your head. You may not be able to get it out. Be careful what you look at. You may not be able to unsee it. The Apostle Paul says, if you want to be a healthy, you want to have a healthy mind, then don't indulge in the vulgar. Pure thoughts have the grace of God on them. Pure thoughts have the majesty of God on them. The fifth characteristic is lovely. This word could probably better be translated toward love. The thoughts you think, do they stimulate love in you, or do they stimulate anger and resentment in you? Spouses, how do you permit yourself to think about your spouse? The thoughts you have toward your spouse, do they increase your sense of love? Or do they fuel resentment? Do they fuel an unforgiving spirit? That's not them. That's you thinking about them. I'm going to give you a clue. The more lovingly I think about my wife, the more I love her. The more critically I think about my wife, the more ugly I think about my wife, the less I love her. She doesn't change at all. It's just my thinking. Do you hear this, church? So Paul says, do a check. Is the way you're thinking right now about your spouse, does it tend toward love? Or does it make you more critical, more resentful, more selfish? These lovely thoughts are agreeable with my best self. See, it turns out your best self likes to think about what is lovely. Your best self does. Your worst self may be all attracted to ugly, but your best self is attracted to what is lovely. And the same thing is true in your thoughts. If you can look at an ugly painting and you can look at a beautiful painting, you're going to enjoy the beautiful painting more than the ugly painting. If you think beautiful thoughts, you're going to enjoy those thoughts more than if you think ugly thoughts. Are you with me, church? Then he uses the word commendable. Whatever is commendable. These thoughts are thoughts that give us a good reputation. These thoughts are trustworthy. These thoughts are noble enough that they commend themselves to us. Some thoughts are self-commending. When you think them, you automatically say, that triggers something good in me. Some thoughts are not commendable, and whether you're aware of it or not, it triggers something ugly in you. What are you allowing yourself to think? Are you allowing yourself to think thoughts that trigger what is commendable? Trigger what is trustworthy? Trigger what is respectable? Or are your thoughts pushing in the other direction? I can illustrate this. Every one of you have read a quote at some time in your life that the minute you read that quote, it connected with you. You read that quote and you said, that makes perfect sense to me. Or you read the quote and you said, that is an incredible way of looking at that. It impressed you. There was something about the way the person said this idea that it triggered a positive response in you. That is commendable. That's what a commendable thought is. Then he uses the word excellent. It's the Greek word that philosophers use for virtue. What did the Greek philosophers mean by virtue? The very best that category is capable of. So the Greeks like to make statues. Their statues embodied what they thought was the very best representation of a man, or the very best representation of a woman, or the very best representation of a horse. For the Greeks, virtue was you are the best example of that category. All right, let's drag that over into this. Virtuous thoughts. Virtuous thoughts are the very best thoughts that we're capable of as human beings. That's a virtuous thought. A virtuous thought is when humanity's thinking at its best, what does it think? Now, please, I'm not saying smartest, because there's a big difference between smart and virtue. There's a lot of virtuous people who may not be the smartest people in the world. And there's a lot of smart people who have very little virtue. I'm not talking about intelligence. I'm talking about moral quality. I'm talking about what it really means to be an ethical human being. When you think about being the most moral person you can be, what are those thoughts? That's what Paul is saying. These thoughts are the mind at its most noble. And then he says, okay, I've given you 7 good categories, but I feel like if I didn't touch it in any of those, then how about this? Think about the thoughts that are worthy to be praised. Think about the thoughts that deserve to be praised, not only by yourself, but by others. There are some thoughts you're glad nobody knows you're thinking. I don't want to do mental telepathy. Huh? I've seen enough science fiction movies. It doesn't work. I need a filter between some of the dumb stuff that goes through my head and what comes out of my mouth. All right. So there are some thoughts that we are embarrassed of. But we all have thoughts that if we shared them, people would say, that's special. That's respectable. That's interesting. Paul says, when you're doing a check on how you think, put this in the category. If you said what you're thinking out loud, would it be worthy of praise or not? All right. Now, I want all of us, nobody can do this for us. I want all of us to do a little self-grading this morning. I want all of us to just take a second and do a little self-grading. How do you grade yourself on praiseworthy thoughts? How do you grade yourself on morally excellent thoughts? How do you grade yourself on respectable thoughts? How do you grade yourself on lovely thoughts or thoughts that tend toward being more loving? How are you grading yourself on the pure to vulgar scale? How do you grade yourself on being just, virtuous, prejudiced? How are you grading yourself on the honorable and the true? Okay. Paul is saying we can do better. You can have a healthier mental life. You can enjoy the voice in your head more than you're enjoying it. But to do that, you have to discipline your thinking. And then because Paul is Paul, he gives us 4 ways, 4 experiences that help us discipline our thinking. He said, whatever you learned from me, whatever you received from me, whatever you've been hearing from me, and whatever you see in me, use as a way of disciplining yourself to think in a more healthy way. Let's break this down. Healthy thinking is connected to learning experiences. I can make this pretty easy. Let's just pick one of the traits. The first one was true. If I want to have more true thoughts in my head, if I say that sounds like something I'm willing to work for, all right. Now I have to say to myself, how do I learn to have more true thoughts in my head? You're not going to get up one morning and be different. You got to have a learning process whereby you go from filling your head with your opinions to progressively filling your head with more true thoughts. You got to have a process, and it's a learning process. Let me suggest this. You take a little slip of paper and you write the word truth on it. And you put it in your pocket, or you tape it to your dashboard, or you put it on your computer. And every time you look at that, you say to yourself, am I thinking true thoughts? Or you say to yourself, what is the last thought I had that I know is genuinely true? And I habituate myself to more and more ask myself, is that really true, or is it just my opinion? And I learn to have a more truthful mind. Or I take the word respectable, and I write it down, and I put it wherever. And every time I see that word, I say to myself, am I thinking respectable thoughts? And I progressively learn to think in a more healthy way, right? Then he uses the word receive. Every day we are bombarded by messages. How are they affecting your thinking? How do they affect your thinking? What messages do I have to stop listening to? What messages do I have to interrupt and say, that triggers a thought in me, and I don't permit myself to think that way? I've told you before, from time to time I say, stop! You're not allowed to think like that. I'm interrupting what I'm receiving because it doesn't help me have a healthy mind. What are you listening to? I wonder, do you hear more encouragement or more criticism? Let's just narrow it down to our home. What does your home sound like? Does it sound like an encouraging place, or does it sound like a critical place? Do you hear yourself saying thank you more than you hear yourself complaining? Kids, I got your back here. I'm going to give your mom and dad a hard time. Hey, mom and dad, what do your kids hear? Do they hear more encouragement or more criticism? You want your kids to have a healthy mind? It's not going to happen by you establishing a critical voice in their head. Huh? I have a friend in this building right now who was a straight-A student. And her mom said, I don't care what her grades are. She's not doing this, this, and this. That kid couldn't succeed no matter what she would have done. Church? Paul says it matters. Paul says if you're going to have healthy thinking, it matters if you're hearing encouragement or criticism? Church? When my wife encourages me, I'll run through a brick wall. I got to live up to it. She can't criticize me into picking up a dog hair. Church? And I'm not the only one. You guys are the same way. You give me a little bit of encouragement, I'm going face first at it. Criticize me, and my thinking gets unhealthy. Church? Paul says, what are you hearing? It matters. Then he says, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? It affects your thinking. It has been said for a long time, the eyes are the gateway to the soul. And whatever you're staring at, you're dragging into your inner self. I worry about the amount of violence we see in our culture. I worry about it. I don't think these violent people's pictures should be on the news. All you do is you other unhealthy minds see that and go, hey, church, what are we seeing? What are we permitting ourselves to look at? What am I dragging into my soul through my eyes? I have to pay attention to it. It matters. If I'm going to have a healthy mind, then I have to have a single eye. I have to be careful of what I'm seeing. Brothers and sisters, you can't unsee some things. Then he says you got to practice. What are you practicing? Paul said, I'm sharing healthy thinking, but you saw me practice healthy thinking. You saw my discipline in practicing healthy thinking. Are you practicing healthy thinking? What is your plan to practice healthy thinking? What are you doing to make yourself aware of healthy thinking? Are you following me? Paul says if you want to have a healthy mind, you got to have practices that develop a healthy mind. And then he says, here's what's in it for you. When you have a healthy mind, the God of peace is with you. Now listen to this, church. We can make the Holy Spirit uncomfortable in a trashy mind. You get it? If the Spirit of God abides in us, if I have an unhealthy, trashy mind, I create an environment where he's not comfortable. Because believe it or not, he doesn't like it. He's not comfortable. Ugly thoughts aren't consistent with who he is. And I grieve him, and because I've grieved the Holy Spirit, I have a declining sense of the peace of God. With a healthy mind, I'm creating an environment he enjoys being in. And because he enjoys being there, church, I have a greater sense of the peace of God. All right, let me say this one other way. Ugly thoughts drive peace out of your life. You cannot think ugly thoughts and be at peace in yourself. The band played while I needed a little break there. All right, follow me here. Just think of your own life. Think of the times that you were the most miserable. What was going on in your head? You were thinking ugly things. You were thinking resentful things. You were thinking, your thinking was unhealthy. And your well-being just perished. Now think of the best times in your life. The times that you remember most fondly. What was going on in your head? You were thinking healthy thoughts. You see? My emotional nature follows my thinking. I have a healthy mind, I experience more of the peace of God. I have an unhealthy mind, I experience less of the peace of God. I have a healthy mind, I experience more personal joy. I have an unhealthy mind, and my joy plummets. So Paul says to us today, say hi to yourself. Introduce yourself to yourself. Who do you want to be? And how are you going to discipline your thinking to get there? Who do you want to be? And who's around you encouraging you to be that person? Who do you want to be? And what thoughts are you having that keep you from being that person? And then develop practices that help you habituate yourself to these healthy thoughts that he suggests to us. Our dear Heavenly Father, please help us. Please help us. I want to have a healthy mind. I believe that everybody in this auditorium wants to have a healthy mind. I believe the people online want to have a healthy mind. We want to have a healthy mind. We've not been guided well in life. We've not had this modeled very well for us. So we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that your Spirit Himself would guide us into the daily disciplines that result in more healthy thinking. And then I pray that as we think in a more healthy way, we would be a source of strength, blessing, and encouragement to the people in our homes, the people we work with, the people in our church. And I pray that Christ would be glorified. Amen.